I think it was about this time last year when I closed a sermon by telling you all the way I usually give a little speech to a group of youth that are headed out on a trip. And the speech goes a little something like, take care of each other, look out for each other, know that you're probably going to be the grumpy one sometimes, and know that you're probably going to be the irritated one sometimes, and you're probably going to need to apologize maybe more than a few times, and you're going to need to receive some apologies along the way. Well, I did give that speech at the beginning of this trip, and I think we were over 2 weeks into our trip when one of the girls said to me, when are we going to start to need to apologize to each other? When are we going to start being the grumpy one and the irritated one? I say that after many years in youth ministry, that speech has served me well. Except not this time. I really did take a great group of young people on this trip. And the work that we did, the learning that we did, it was a really special treat to be a part of it. Here in the church, we raise these young ones, we teach them stories, we fill their heads with theological ideas, and we don't always have very many opportunities for them to go and be the church in a place, to own their faith and name it in a place and put it into action with their hands and their feet and their mouths. But in a place like Camden, they're pushed into the deep end of the pool. It's an intimidating place. Culturally speaking, all these streetwise kids are kind of tricky and intimidating. Even when they're younger than you, they can talk this slick, poetic way, and they can beat you in a rap battle, even if you want to try rap battling someone, which I don't recommend. It's a challenge. And the way they operate at Urban Promise is they don't mollycoddle you. If you're not going to show up and engage and be a part of it, they let you be a wallflower. And they'll actually test you in the first couple days. They'll push you and intimidate you a little bit just to see, are they going to be another group of these white people from some place we never heard of who don't really want anything to do with us? Well, I'm proud to say that from the get-go, our group was in there like dirty shirts. And they made friends, and they made connections, and they were represented in their camps so well. Not only that, we seem to have a history of masonry as a youth group. There was a stretch of time back in the day when we went to serve in Winnipeg, and they got us to repoint the masonry at the Aboriginal Fellowship Church there. We found out that Cassie Peak was born a master mason. But when we got there, they said, hey, we've got these donated stones, and we'd like you to make a pathway in our garden. And we think maybe all you'll be able to do is maybe level it and get it ready for the stones, and maybe you'll be able to do a couple of the stones, but we don't really expect you to finish this by any stretch. But we did. We did all of the stones, 3 full pallets of paving stones. It was kind of amazing. So they're not just a fun group. They're not just a great group of people to be around. But when it's time to sweat in all that muggy heat in New Jersey in July, they'll break out of sweat too. But you don't really need to hear too many more stories from me. I'll say one more thing, and then we'll just go down the line, and each of the students, maybe a little bit nervous, maybe not, will share a piece of their trip that was especially meaningful to them, a person they met, or a time that we had together that was meaningful. About 30 years ago, Bruce Maines asked Tony Campolo if there was anything he thought he should do, and that's when crack cocaine was wreaking havoc in American cities. Camden is a city that industry forgot, the politicians forgot. Campbell's Soup moved out, RCA Records moved out. They used to make aircraft carriers and big steamer ships, and then all of the industry left. And the industries that moved in to replace it were the drug trade. So Philadelphia and all the surrounding suburbs can buy their drugs in Camden, and the city can crumble and fall apart and live in violence. But a guy like Bruce 30 years ago moved into that and started these camps, these little seeds of hopefulness. And in that 30 years, it's grown into a little campus where people that only had drug dealer as a potential future, ended up going to college on scholarship. And even the really cool part is a lot of those young people, after they go to college, they come right back to Camden and they work in the same places, work in the same camps, and work in the same neighborhoods. We go to Camden, we've gone there 3 times there now, because even when you're just there in the place, it feels like a privilege that you got to be a part of. Someday I'll get to say, I was here in this place while these people did all of this great work. It's truly an inspiring place, and it's difficult to explain, and that's why we need lots of stories. At the end of the service, you'll be able to see that we'll have a slideshow running. It's about 20 minutes long, and hopefully it gives you a little bit more of a glimpse of what we did down there. But I think Eli's going to be our first story, so here we go.
Throughout the whole trip, we always, no matter what we were doing, we were always as a group. We always did things together, like no matter what we were doing. We'd wander around Camden, we'd go to New York, we'd be helping out the kids. We were always together, and it kind of made kind of this family community of us just walking around, having fun, or just working in that, like, really hot environment while we were laying down those bricks. But throughout the whole trip, we just were always together, and when I came back home, it always felt... For the first little while, it felt a little weird because it was just me again and my family. But when we were at Camden, we were always together.
So my story might be a little bit longer. It's not an extravagant story. It's very simple. One of the days that I remember fondly was... A regular day, I think it was either Monday or Tuesday, I think it was a Tuesday. Anyways, we have 4 activities that we do with the kids every day: Bible, discovery, art, and gym. And so we were outside, very, very hot weather. You step outside and you're already sweating. But we would play games with the kids, and one of the most frequent games that we played was Red Light, Green Light. So the kids were always very enthusiastic, lots of shouting, and it was very fun to watch and to participate in, and it was a lot of fun just to be there. It was the simplest thing, and I was talking with my mom this morning in the car about what story I should share, and this story popped up into my head, and something that followed it was something that... the director, Marcus, said about being a spark in the kids' lives, and how the smallest thing, like playing games with these kids, can lead to greater things in their life. This energy, this fun that they can have here, forgetting about everything else in their life, just being here in the moment, playing with these kids, having fun, will hopefully be a pillar for them, that they can build their life on and do great things one day. And so even the small things that we did in Camden, just being there with the kids, laughing, talking, having fun, was really, it was the smallest thing was the biggest part of the trip. And the trip was made up of all these small moments, these opportunities for sparks to happen. And It was a wonderful time that we had there, and I'd love to share more stories with you guys. I'm sure everyone else here would as well. Come talk to us after, and thank you for your support and your donations. It was an amazing trip, so thank you.
So the group of us at Camp Saved, we got to get to know not only the kids and the street leaders, but also the interns at the camp. One of the interns that we got to know especially well was named Michael. He taught discovery in the mornings with the kids. And at the beginning of the first week, he said that we were going to start a project with the kids where we'd divide up in groups and build a car. And we had toothpicks and pipe cleaners and feathers and just random scrap and recycling that we could use to build the best car. And it was a competition at the end of the week, and the project would span over 2 weeks, which is perfect for us because that's how long we were there for. So not only did we able, were we able to stay with the kids, but we were able to experience a project with the kids and start from the beginning with them and go to the end and see the results. And it was incredible and lots of fun, of course. About a month ago, Michael on Facebook said that Urban Promise had changed his life, and he volunteered there for almost 3 months. He said that he was going to become an elementary school teacher, say, because through Urban Promise, he was able to experience staying with kids and teaching them and helping them out throughout the day. And so Urban Promise can change everyone's life, from the interns who are there for 3 months, or the kids and the street leaders, and us as a work group. So it was incredible.
So going into this trip, I was very excited, but also very nervous. I was really worried that I wouldn't connect well with the kids, especially since I was going to be going with the older kids, and I always thought I got along better with younger kids. But that wasn't a problem at all. These kids were absolutely amazing, and of course, the very first day was a little awkward, but even by the end of that, I was having full conversations with them. And by the third day, it was just incredible. It was, we were picking teams for Capture the Flag, and a group of kids kept pointing at me and telling Peter to, pick me, and they kept telling him that until I was picked. And just in that moment, I felt welcomed in this community. And it was super awesome, and they're such great people, and I couldn't have asked to have been with a better group of people. And I'm really hoping, myself and Mira and Abby, we all want to go back someday and intern. And yeah, I'm just super excited and happy I got to experience this, and thank you all for helping make this happen.
Okay, so this was my second trip. The first time I went, I was with the younger age group, so grades 1 to 4, and then this time I was with the older age groups, grades 5 to 9. So I wasn't nervous about going to Camden as much as I was about being with the older kids, like Ella was. And on the first night, Marcus always kind of gives this speech you just gotta pick one kid, and then if they're too weird, you just move on and pick a new one. So the first time I went, I ended up picking a kid named Tyrone. He was quite something. He's very hyper and liked to run around and would say the weirdest stuff. So the second time, I was kind of nervous and looking around, and then, Tyrone's there. He's sitting there munching on some Cheerios, just talking away. And then I hung out with Tyrone a whole bunch throughout the week, and again, that was the kid I chose, and he was just, again, I think he got weirder and a little wilder, and now he could put both his feet behind his head, so there was something new to show everyone. So it was really nice to just see that friendly face, and I could kind of tell by the end of the week that, the 2 weeks that, I had chose him, but, he also chose me, so we created kind of a bond or whatever. So it was very nice to get to go back and to see some of the same kids, but to also see new kids. And like Ella said, us and Mira want to go back, and then hopefully we'll see the same kids, and maybe I'll see Tyrone again, and maybe now he'll be able to fit his whole fist in his mouth or something. I don't know. So, yeah, I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to go back and see these lovely people.
So I was trying to think of all the stories I have from Camden, and the one that stuck out for me was our pool day. So I was like at Camp Freedom, and it was grades 5 to 9. And as you can imagine, about 100 kids in the shallow end of a pool who had never taken swim lessons was pretty crazy, and it was definitely really crazy. At one point, they all started running around in a circle, created a giant whirlpool. At another point, I think it was Camp Spirit, I can't remember, but we just started having our chant battles, and it was so loud, it was crazy, and we were all just yelling at each other from our camps, and it just, the community that they build there at the camps and how much the kids love their camps and their spirit leaders and everyone they meet is just, it's so incredible. At one point, one of my favorite kids, his name was Sharon, he pulled me over to the edge of the pool and was like, "Mira, look what I can do. I can put my face underwater." And he just face first into the water, brings it up a second later with a giant smile on his face. And just little things like that, which you seem kind of unimportant to you, but to them it's so exciting. Or when you would, the kids would want to race you. So one kid would pull you to the edge of the pool and grab your hand and be like, "Okay, we're going to race to the end of the pool." And then two other kids would jump on your back and try to slow you down while you were running across the pool. It's just, the kids were amazing. And even after only being there for 2 weeks, we loved the kids so much and they loved us. And the street leaders made it so awesome. And just the whole trip was so amazing. So thank you for that. I hope I can go back as an intern someday. Thank you.
There's like, oh, where am I going? All right. There's like, I could tell you 100 stories about kids and interns and whatnot, but I got to go as a leader with this group that I've been getting to know for 4 years already somehow. And it's great that I get to keep coming back and I don't actually have to leave. And I get to watch all these, like some of these kids I've known since they were born, which is weird for me. But they're all turning into like emotionally aware, like responsible young adults, and it's really awesome to watch. And I got to see so much of that on the trip, and I'm just super proud of all of them. They're all really great, and I like being around them. They're pretty great.
So one night we went to the youth group for called Stomp for the street leaders, which are like the teenage leaders in every camp. And it started with, we did some icebreaker games, which were a lot of fun. Then we got into the meat of it, and we got into small groups. And you may recall that around the time we left, all the problems of police brutality against African Americans said resurfaced on like the headlines, and so we got into small groups and just had an honest discussion about that. And I remember one specific thing that I took away from that is that one street leader said that the real value of bringing in work groups from other places is for the kids to get to meet white people who weren't antagonistic, weren't like drug buyers or like corrupt politicians. And there's a good spin coming. And I suppose that really struck me as both something like tragic, and that's an honest fact about the state of things in the United States and also in Canada as well, but that in the work of organizations like Urban Promise, which do what they can just to do simple, honest, humble, good work in communities, there's hope to like renew our society and love over hate, I guess. So, thank you.
So this was my second time going back to Camden, and I was once again in Camp Freedom, which doesn't sound like a lot, but people fight over like getting into Camp Freedom. It's like a big deal. So there's always other work groups, most of them from the United States, that go as well, and everybody like is dying to get into Camp Freedom because the main reason is because of the camp director named Tony. So last time we were there, we were in Central Camden, Eastern. I don't remember. Anyway, it's 9 square miles. It's pretty small. It's all pretty close to each other. But yeah, the last time we were there, we were in this super rundown building. And so when we went this time, they changed the location to a brand new old Baptist church in Fairview. And this Fairview community is right next to the old shipping docks. And it's a super cool neighborhood, like really nice brick buildings. And the coolest part is that if you look from a bird's eye view onto the neighborhood, it actually spell out Fairview, which seems really cool, but it made it really hard to navigate. So every time we tried to get there in the mornings, we were always like 10 minutes late because we made so many wrong turns. But this Fairview, the new camp at Fairview is quite far away from their old camp. But then the amazing part about Tony is he didn't want to ditch his old kids or leave his kids from his old camp when they switched locations. So every morning, Tony gets up extra early to bus all of his kids from the old neighborhood to this new neighborhood. And he's memorized the whole bus route, and he told us that nobody else knows the bus route, so he can't take a sick day or else these kids wouldn't have any camp to go to. So that really just shows his dedication towards these kids. And another amazing thing is every year, the eighth graders, he takes them to Disneyland, and they spend the whole year, the grade eighters and him spend the whole year raising money for this trip to go to Disneyland. And it's a one-in-a-lifetime experience for those kids. And he does all the fundraising, and he plans the whole thing out, and his whole life is just dedicated to serving these kids. And it really just showed me how much one person can impact the lives of all the kids there. So, yeah.
So this was my second time to going to Camden, and one of the biggest things I've taken away is how welcoming they are there. We don't know these people when we go there. We know some of them coming back, but most of those people I've never met before. They don't know me. I'm a stranger. We're only there for 2 weeks, but they're still so accepting and welcoming. The first day that we arrived at Camp Freedom, we walked into the church. None of the kids were there yet because Tony had to bus them all there, so they'd get kind of late. And so we walked into the church, and it was kind of empty except for all the street leaders who were all there early, and they were sitting in a circle, and they were like, oh, come over here, work group, join our circle. And so we all sat down, and they said, oh, we do this thing every morning where we go to each person in the circle, and you say how you're feeling on a scale of 1 to 10, and then you give a compliment to the person on your left. And we're like, oh, wow, that's great. And we're like, kind of went over there like to see how them do, and they're like, okay, join our circle. So we sat down with them, and each of us, as well as the street leaders, said how we were feeling on a scale of 1 to 10, and then we would compliment the person to our left. And it started off like the first couple of days would be, oh, I really like your hair, or those shoes are really nice, where'd you get them? And by the end of the 2 weeks, it was, oh, I love how patient you are with the kids, or I love your enthusiasm when we do the songs in the morning, or I noticed that you participate as much as possible. And it was just so, like, we got to know them so well. We felt like we were friends by the end of the trip. And it wasn't just the street leaders. The kids, too, were super welcoming. There was one kid who I really liked and spent a lot of time with. His name was Titus. And one day we had, every day we'd have, like, competitions, kind of like we did the song here. They would, who would shout the loudest, who would win the games. And by the end, the points would be counted up. And the winners, the teams were the boys, the girls, the staff, and then the work group. We had our own team, which was an honor. And one day at the end, the boys won, and their prize was a box of Oreos. So they passed it around. They each had an Oreo. And then Titus came over to me and is like, hey, did you get an Oreo? We're giving them out to the work group. I said, oh, no, I didn't. So he pulled me over, and he went, and he looked at the box, and he's like, oh, can you get an Oreo? And like, oh, sorry, there aren't any left. And he got all sad. He's like, oh.
He's like, okay, just a second. And he reached into his pocket and he pulled out some money. He's like, here, I'm sorry you didn't get an Oreo. I'm like, no, Titus, I don't need that money. But just that compassion and that acceptance and how welcome we were there is really great. And each time we go, I think we develop a bigger sense of that, of how accepting they are. And we aren't out of place there. We can be part of it for that little time that we're there. So thank you for sending us there. It's just an honor to be a part of it.
It's tricky to cram 3 weeks into a few stories, so I hope you'll take an opportunity to, in the weeks ahead, get one of these teenagers in a corner, maybe over coffee after church, ask them some more questions, find out more about Camden. It's been a really neat trip, and it's been a real privilege. I'll end with one story. It's kind of a cool, this I've never been able to do this before, but my two adult leaders were people that I knew when they were in junior high. And watching them grow up and sort of having this sort of relationship that's deeper than just someone I kind of recruited was a real treat. So having Zoe and Simon as leaders gave us an ability to sort of speak without speaking, understand each other right out of the gate, and solve any problems, even not that there were that many problems, but solve them with such ease and such care. It was a real treat. When we went on our last debrief days, I went and stayed in Eli's room, and up until that point, I'd been in Simon's room, and I got into bed, and I was getting ready to go to sleep. I got up my phone, and I texted him, and I said, I miss my Camden wife. And I really did kind of miss our goofy routines that we had every night in those gross dorms that we lived in. We had a great time on that trip. And we are so thankful for a church that gets behind us when we put together our annoying fundraisers, that encourages us, that keeps on listening to our stories, and stands behind our teenagers. Thank you so much for what you do. When you send us out, I want you to know that we represent really well. We stand out as a group, and it feels really great when I see my teenagers just go out into these challenging places and just own it. So thanks be to God that we live in this place, that we live in this city, and as a downtown church, we have these amazing teenagers that show up and do this work for us, represent so well the ministry of the church in so many little ways. Amen.
Let us continue our worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings.